Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com.
Nate Bauer joins us. We always find him to be a positive beacon of light on dark days.
Sometimes.
Well, I didn't ask your family, but
sure. Yeah. No, smart.
I'm surprised you're not out on the golf course on a day like this.
You know, if you had caught me, an hour ago, the story might be a little different.
Well, I'll be honest with you. Before I started the show today, you know what I thought? I mean, I'd love to have gone out and played some golf today, but you know what I did instead? Christmas lights. Because
yeah, see, I don't want to know that. That's not what I want to hear.
I know, but you know, I know why. I mean, I'll turn them off until Thanksgiving, but I don't want to be one of those guys that's out there putting it up, mm-hmm. and it's 28 mm-hmm. degrees and I'm freezing.
Yeah, no, that's a valid point, but I committed to my happiness today, Steve.
I know.
And I shot a 78 for my effort.
Which you shot 78 the other day too, right? That's what you told me, right?
79.
Okay.
You know, 1% better.
My best ever is 78, by the way. And I've broken 84. Okay. I've broken 84 times. 178 okay. and 379s. But, you know, but it's been a couple of years since I did that. All right.
About that.
So, hey, it's still, when you do it, you're looking around going, hey, I feel good. It was the 78 was on a blue course, and my second shot was to within 20 yards of the green. I chipped it in. That's how I got the 78. Eagle. So I have to ask you, I think you wrote a column about quarterbacks. I know it's shocking. There has been incredible consistency, mm-hmm. personal opinion. So you can if you go a different direction, whatever direction you want to go in. But he's handled this consistently the same all the way through. There's been no changes to how he's handled this.
No, it's confounding a little bit, right? Because the point of the column, well, I wrote two columns. Well, one was, yes, that he's handled it the same way, right? It's, the guy who proved himself as the winner of the quarterback competition in the preseason, that status hasn't changed. There have been, you know, every day is tracked. Like all of these things, people act as though it's some conspiracy, right? That players are convinced to all say the same thing, that Mike Yurcich is, right, like toe the company line. I have news. It is not possible to get 18 to 20-year-old guys to all say the same thing and to get Mike Yurcich to say the same thing, to stay on script, which is that Sean Clifford brings all of these values that may not be tangible or may not be seen to the public at all times, but they're there. They're there. And so the players, like, forget James Franklin. Everybody wants to talk about James Franklin and his decisions and, oh, this is so obvious that Drew Aller is the guy and should be right now, is already better than Sean Clifford. I'm not debating whether or not there is merit to Drew being a fantastic quarterback. He's going to be great. That's obvious. But, again, forget James Franklin. This is what the players are saying. The players are saying that, yeah, there is a benefit. Like, there are experiences that Sean Clifford has had that allow him to do things on the field in terms of checks and calls and motions and all of the stuff that football veterans are much more adept at talking about than me. He does them, and he does them extremely well. And so that's why he is the guy. That's why he will continue to be the guy through the rest of the season unless something changes.
It's not as if Sean Clifford isn't the first to tell you that Drew Aller is a great prospect, because he is a great prospect, and he got a lot of time on Saturday, and he got a lot of time against the Indiana first team defense, and he also got a lot of time with Penn State's first team wideouts.
All of which is great. all of which is great. But and this is the thing to me gets lost in this is we have all collectively decided that game reps are the only thing that matters. That getting game, that first team game reps are the only thing, or are this such a paramount, overwhelming force to whether or not he can be ready next season. And it's just not true. It's just not accurate. All everything goes into this, right? Winter workouts, spring practice reps, reps on air, reps with his receivers that are going to be different next year, right? Like, all of those things accumulate. And yes, it is valuable to have these experiences. It absolutely is. But it's not so overwhelming as to put you in a position where you have to sacrifice as the coach. You have to sacrifice now for later. You're not in a position where you have to do that. And the whole thing for James Franklin and for Penn State right now is the best of both worlds is something that is attainable to you right now. Go win the game and win it by a lot so that you can plug in all those guys, not just Drew, plug in everybody, get as many of those guys as much opportunity as you possibly can, but do not in any way risk or ensure the outcome of the game that's at hand.
Now let's get to the rest of the group. One of the stated points for Penn State football going into this season was this recruiting class had a possibility of changing the depth on this football team. We've now seen 9 games. Is that true?
Totally. I mean, you see it. I think that there's a reality that it could have changed more or could be changed more if there was a need for it. Drew Shelton is the perfect example of this, right? Here's a guy who we're all talking about redshirts right now, and it's a necessary conversation because
right. You
look at Drew Shelton. Drew Shelton would not have redshirted this year had Olu Fashanu not been ahead of him.
Right.
If you have a first round draft pick, you're not going to whether he is whether Drew Shelton needs to be at Penn State in 4 years is beside the point at this point. It is, hey, there's no reason to spend this if you don't have to, if right for Drew, because but Drew has been ready for a while, and so
he actually has been.
It's across the board. There are a ton of players.
Venga Ioane, right? Totally. This is where you can now look at your personnel. I think, Nate, and say, okay, how many games has each played? I think Venga Ioane, for example, has played 2. I think.
Yep. Yeah,
which means he still has 2 left. Yep. You know, how many games have you played J.B. Nelson? How many games have you played Drew Shelton? You can start looking at this stage of the season as to how you want to mix and match people if you have to.
And they're going to have to. Right? I mean, it's clear at this point that they're going to have to figure some things out. Whether Landon Tengwall makes a miraculous comeback or not is kind of beside the point. The point is he and Olu didn't make the trip, right? So, you know, I understand that James Franklin wants injuries on the down low. I get that. But at some point, your eyes tell the story. And, you know, the eyes right now say that 2 of your starters that were not physically able to come or there was no value in them making that trip on Saturday. So, So they're gonna. I mean, it's gonna be a mix and match game. My assumption is that Penn State would like to preserve as many of those redshirts as they possibly can, but they're gonna have to be, very prudent about that process to try to figure out where those pieces fit, which games you can have matchups that are better for you that accentuates the guys that you're gonna put into those positions. So we'll see.
Obviously, they completely outmanned Indiana on Saturday, but it also was one of those you're coming off a tough emotional loss. What did you see in the resiliency of that football team Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, it still took them, a minute to get going, but yes, no, I thought that there was something to that. Mitch Tinsley talked about it after the game, how for guys who have been around teams have personalities, right?
Oh, I know.
And you know, you, of course you know. Teams have personalities, and some teams, the leadership just can't let it go, and they dwell on it, and it's a problem, and you know, it becomes something that one turns into two, and right. I mean, we've been talking about it for forever. That is something that has existed, particularly under James Franklin, but this group has not had that this year. And Mitch Tinsley talked about it on Saturday, how they have collectively been able to put disappointment away, and particularly the way that honestly either one of those losses happened this year, right, at Michigan, to be that demoralized and bounce back and have a dominating win. Right. And then for Ohio State, for it to be close, for it to be within your grasp and not be able to get it and still be able to move on. No, I think it speaks highly of what they've been able to do and what they need to do moving forward.
Every team is entitled to write their own book, their own chapter. It doesn't carry from one year to the next. I mean, I know everybody wants to think things carry over. That's not how it works. That's never how it works.
No, I'm in complete agreement. They're just especially in college sports.
Yeah,
it's so transitory. It's very much so. Every team has its own personality. It changes from year to year, and even with guys who have been around, even with the John Sutherlands and the Sean Cliffords, it still takes on a different identity when a Nick Singleton and a Catron Allen enters the picture. These personalities, they all impact each other in different ways. They're their own kind of living organisms.
Basketball opens with Winthrop tonight. You always take an interest in what's going on with the Hoops team. What's your thought on team heading in?
I'm very anxious to see tonight. I've kind of been game theorying this, of what Penn State will look like. And I don't know about you, Steve. I get into what are the analytics of this, right? Penn State scored 64 points a game last year. We know they're going to play at a different pace this year. We know that they have more scoring options.
Right.
Andrew Funk is so fascinating to me because it's not like he's a 44% shooter from three. Right, he's 38-39% free throw or 3-point shooter.
Yep.
But his presence, by all accounts, from everything I can tell, has transformed some of what they've been able to do. Cam Winter has transformed what they've been able to do offensively, and so it comes to say, hey, okay, are they going to score 73 a game? Right, like can they crack that? 70 is kind of an elusive number for Penn State basketball over the years, and it's a large part about skill, having guys that can make shots. And it seems to me like this is a team that has that. And so going into this game for Winthrop, you know, Penn State should have an advantage. This is not a bad Winthrop team, though. This should be a pretty good test.
This is a team won 23 last year. Hightower's a good player. Claxton's pretty good. I mean, it's not who they were going to open up with. They were supposed to open up with somebody else, but you know, they had to make an adjustment. But I mean, I think you might get a pretty good read right out of the gate on certain elements right out of the gate tonight.
Yep. No, you again. Are the shots going to fall? That took three pointers in particular. Like that should be the black and white. This was not a proficient 3-point shooting team last year. It should be pretty good this year.
They've got multiple options. See, the 3-point shot opens the floor up, and that changes now the spacing on the floor. If you're not a good 3-point shooting team, everybody just pack it in, and there's no space to breathe.
Which is why what Jalen Pickett did last year is all that much more impressive.
Remarkable.
Right? So if you give a guy like Jalen Pickett some shooters around him, it should change. It should fundamentally change what they look like on that end of the floor. You know, so it's going to be super interesting to me because, you know, for as much as people look at, you know, Johnny Herrera and say, oh, well, you know, you're losing that rock and that foundation.
Yeah.
And all of that is true. He was still a limited basketball player in a lot of respects, right? From a skill standpoint, you would want John on your team every year,
yep,
a million out of a million, but you are adding more skill at most positions on the floor this season, which I think should create a fascinating dynamic for this team.
And this is a testimony to what I talk about in the show all the time. There are multiple ways to win. So,
totally. And Mike Asuza is going to demonstrate that this year.
And that's what I say to everybody when it comes to analytics. There are multiple ways to win. Analytics happens to be one of them.
Yep.
Right? It's not the only one. It's one of them.
Yep. Well, Shrewsbury has said, I mean, he's been very public about it. And Zach Edey's the example that he brings up. He's like, Zach Edey's going to get his. Like, it's just forget about it. You're not going to be able to limit necessarily what some of the bigs in the Big Ten.
Hunter Dickinson, Trace Jackson Davis. I mean, it happens. That's, you know, there's some quality big guys.
Those guys don't have to kill you, though. And three is more than two, and we can go round and round. But there are ways to compete and to have some success with the style of basketball that I think that Penn State is shaping up to have.
And that's entertaining, too. The point value of the three, really entertaining. I mean, it's, you know, that sucker flies through the air, crowd gets going. It's amazing what the 3-point shot's done.
I want to see the new seating tonight as well. I'm interested to see what that looks like.
Nah, I got the same old seat I had before, so.
Yeah, me too, but, you know.
Oh, you mean others have new seats? Really?
Believe it or not, I know. You wouldn't know.
Oh. Same spot, same guy. All right.
Hey, me too.
All right, brother. I'll see you up there tonight. Appreciate you.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.